Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
On Share Talk today, we've got David Bramhill, Executive Chairman, Union Jack Oil, listed on the London Stock Exchange, UJO. David, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Alex. Thanks for asking me on. I think it's the first time we've done something together, isn't it?
I think we have in the past, but it's been a while.
Yeah, anyway, about time.
I think I meet you more in person than I do online.
Absolutely.
I've got to touch on the RNS onward update, Europa Oil and Gas, where you hold 7.5%.
That's right, yes.
What's your take on that? Because
it's been ongoing. Europa tried their best to have that license extended. Like I say, I feel sorry for, you know, some of the companies involved that have got massive interest there. You know, it's not good. Of course it isn't.
You can't.
However, for us, you know, without trying to sound selfish, which I hope I'm not, you know, the effect is minimal to us. We've got 92.5% of our interest in the north and 7.5% minuscule interest in Homewood, which would have been nice. But as a running day-to-day issue for Union Jack, it really doesn't affect us in the long run, and any effect is minimal, as we mentioned in the report today. But the license goes on. There's still upside there. Of course it is. But we're frying a lot of fish at the moment, as the shareholders know.
It's just, I shouldn't really give an opinion, but it seems like a game of Russian roulette at the moment when you go in front of these councils, because they all seem to act differently in different counties.
Times have changed. The situation now is so different as it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the bottom line, you just keep plodding, chipping away. And eventually you get there. And it might not always be via the council, but go to the government, go to appeals. And look, just my opinion, I can see it. I hope it doesn't, but I can see it, because local government does need to get involved. Maybe you should liaise more with the councils, speak to the community more. I really, really don't. If I had an answer, I'd be implementing it. But it's difficult for us. We're not the operator. Yeah. We're an investor in a project. And, of course, we talk to the operators. The main group we deal with, are Egdon, are very, very good. They do, you know, everyone does their best. However, before you can get the champagne popping, you've got a lot of blinking graft to get done before that event happens.
That leads me on nicely. We put out a tweet yesterday to get some shareholders' questions. We got quite a few back. Is it okay if I ask you some questions from them?
Yeah, fine. It all depends what it is. As long as it's all in the public domain, fine. All right, Alex, fire away.
Well, this first one's a good one for you, actually. They're in no particular order. Where do you see the company a year from now?
Oh, what a question is that? Now, where do I see it, or where would I like to see it?
Yeah.
I think you're saying where I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
We've got the Wrestle project, which is going up in front of the North Links Council soon to develop this. As you know, we haven't had a lot of luck. We had an appeal. Out of that appeal came some stark realities of things that needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this goes back to my early point where I said times have changed. What was good 3 years ago and completely legal and done properly is no longer the case. There were questions brought up, and the main question with Wrestle was, what if, you know, the unlikely event of any spill, what would the oil percolate through the rock and hit the aquifer? Now, that's fair enough. The answer to that question wasn't known. We knew, or Egdon knew, that it was all good, but you have to convince people that don't understand. So what's happened this time, Egdon have gone away, put in a completely new application, and I can say that the work that's been done on that is, without no pun intended, watertight or oiltight. Really, really, they've proven beyond any question of a doubt that the whole of the well site and beyond is covered by impervious rock, full stop. So any question of contamination aquifer contamination, it cannot happen. So in a year's time, I'd like to think that Wrestle will be online, bringing up our production to about 200 a day with Kennington and Fiskerton Airfield. That will give us funds coming in of about $4 million, excellent for a small company like us. We're not quite that small with that sort of money coming in. The oil wrestle would cost about $15 to produce, so you can work out the profit margin there. It's pretty good. Okay, so that's obviously number one priority. Number two priority is Biscafor. Shareholders probably saw the RNS last week. Egdon are completing the well site this month. With a view to drilling October, November this year. And it's a massive prospect, one of the biggest onshore, in our opinion, in Egdon's opinion. That can't be argued about. It's going to be drilled. It will take 30 days to get to the well, assuming there's no issues, there shouldn't be. And if that was a success, then we really, really are at the races. You're talking about a very, very different company to where we're at now. You translated that latent potential into actual real potential, financial potential. So where would I like to be in a year's time? I'd like to see those two projects flying. Mm-hmm. And also, I'd like to see another project within the company, which would, you know, I'm always looking to be best. And I know there are projects out there that are available. The problem is, it's getting hold of them. We're always in that search.
That brings me on nicely to question number two. Do you see a potential merger with Humber Partners?
Oh, look, I've always been asked that question. I read it. I'll be honest with you. The bulletin boards I read yours that come through on a Sunday night, and also LSE Share Chat, which I think is very, very good. They all seem to be very nice people, and they have a bit of banter, and I know a few of them anyway, and they're all very, very good guys, and I know there's a lady on there as well, so I won't differentiate on that one. But let me make it quite clear, we're a public company, anyone can come along and take a stab at us. It's not the intent of Humber to do that. Anything can happen in the future, but we've signed a commercial agreement with these guys. They're very, very good. They're nice people. They put their money where their mouth is. They're like-minded. So when a project comes along, and it might be a bit weighty for us financially, we know that if a project stands up to interrogation, both financially and geologically, and we've got a good geological team on our board, have to say to you, and independent consultants, these guys, Humber, are always in the background, ready, crying out to do a deal, as we are. So what you're looking at the moment is a terrific working partnership.
All right. I've got to ask you this question because of the political nature it is at the moment. Are UGO committed to non-fracking policy?
Committed to a non-fracking policy? I think by sheer choice and financial ability, we will probably never, ever be involved in fracking. And politically, I take my hat. I fracked or been involved in fracking wells for 25 years. In the US, I've never seen any incidents. It goes like clockwork and there are never any issues. You've got issues in Pennsylvania where there's coal mines and methane, but that shouldn't be confused with fracking. From all my situations, I've seen fracking. So I'm not saying that it should or would or will happen here, but it looks like it's going to. But I think I'll probably be pushing up the daisies by the time fracking really becomes something special here. Like if you look at I'm not going to mention the name of the site, but you'll see all these political things and arguments going on, and judicial reviews, injunctions. You wouldn't read about that 2 years ago. You know, the government say that they're pushing it. They want it to happen. But central government, I don't know. So in answer to your question, we committed to fracking. If it happens, it happens. But I can never see Union Jack being known as a fracking company. On saying that, we do have some, by sheer nature of the beast, on our license areas, down below, some very, very high potential Bowland Shale, which is obviously worth money. And it would be wrong of me to say that Union Jack isn't trying to get the best for its shareholders. Mm-hmm. So if ever there is an offer for the non-conventional side of things, of course we'd look at it. So on fracking, I'm completely open at the moment, but I suppose you could say, yeah, we're a non-fracking company.
If the next question. It's been said that Union Jack Oil is not a company that wants something for nothing. How do you see the company benefiting from the respective counties? That's a good question.
First of all, you never get anything for nothing nowadays. You never did, never will, I suppose.
Oh, my.
But this has come into the conversations lately, obviously. A lot of the councils are looking for, saying, well, hang on, you guys have come up, you drilled a well, you're making millions, or you may make millions out of this. What do we get out of it? Because in all honesty, at this moment in time, there's not many oil companies that actually do community. BP's, the Shells, and all the other large companies obviously do these plans and programs around the world. But the UK onshore scene, it never used to, but I think it's something that should be part of the deal now, where only it's a difficult one, because where do you breach a point of, oh, you're bribing us? You know, most rules are very, very thin. They're grey, because as you're probably aware, I live in Devon. And there was a local energy company here decided that when they went to their planning, that they would go to the council and say, right, anyone within a five square mile radius, will get free or cut price electricity. It was taken very, very wrong, and it was thrown out. So you've got to be really, really careful on what you say you're going to do for the community. On saying that, I'd be delighted to assist, especially, you know, with Wrestle, like Graham Bohr, my technical partner, myself, we've been to every single meeting up in Scunthorpe with the council. We've heard everything, and with no prejudice to the place, it needs money. People, there are organisations out there crying out for help. And also, I will say, being a football fan, I wouldn't mind putting a few quid in the Scunthorpe Football Club as well. Seriously,
yeah,
that's the fact. And that helps both the social and people that probably really, really need the money. You know, we'd be delighted. You know, we haven't sat down with Egdon and spoken the nitty-gritty, but you're aware that Egdon actually have said that they will get engaged in the community plan. And of course, I welcome that. I'm delighted. I'm very happy to do that. It's a good question.
I've been to the Resin site. I've visited it, and it's so far off the B road, and it's so far off the way behind the farmhouse. So it's unusual location. It's not, you know.
It is. It's not. Nobody can see it from the road, or
I'm trying to say.
You know, the situation is, all the issues brought up by the planning inspector, or any concerns, they've been dealt with. And if you go to the North Links Council website, you'll see a lot. I know a lot of the LSE guys and girls go onto it, and you'll read all the letters about fracking and different types of acidisation and a new process being involved in the United Kingdom. They're being used for guinea pigs. When we had the appeal back in October, November last year, the council met common ground with Egdon. There's almost like a playing field or battlefield.
Yeah.
I don't like the word battle, but we'll call it a playing field with some rules. And it was agreed that this wrestle is not a fracking exercise. They're doing a proppant squeeze, and it is not fracking. In addition, they are still saying that this acidization is a guinea pig new process being brought in. The acidization, the product they use, is what you'd put in a bath to clean it. I guess your mum used to do it when you were a kid. She'd scrub the bath because you were so blinking dirty, you left a tide mark there. That's what it's like. I know it's funny, but in reality, it's not so funny because these guys are talking, you know, we're doing something which is dangerous, and it isn't dangerous.
Yeah.
There's no acid being pushed down a hole. It's got a name. It's diluted and diluted and diluted. So, and again, it was agreed that this is not a guinea pig. This is a process which has been used not just in the UK, but 2 miles away from the Wrestle site on another oil well in Scunthorpe. So, you know, it's a lot of what it really needs is a lot of serious discussion on what is actually happening. Who do you blame? Do you blame people for not listening? You have some people don't want to know. They're against fossil fuel. That's up to them. I wouldn't knock them because that's their belief. But at least when you have these council meetings, at least say, hey, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. And whether they accept it or not, I don't know. But it's something that you have to work through. And as I said, the process is different now. But I've got every confidence we'll get there in the end.
Well, for me, I've, as you know yourself, I worked in the oil and gas industry over the last 3 decades on various different operations, mid-tier, low-tier, what, you know. Why don't they just, why doesn't the government adopt industry standards, what drilling companies can use, and then this ambiguity and these...
Well, Alex, they have. They've adopted the standards. If you can probably see my office on this Skype, which thankfully isn't going to go out because I frighten the investors, I guess. But the actual fact of the matter is there's volumes and volumes and volumes of regulations and all different committees that you... You know, the health and safety, the environment agency, a whole raft of different organisations that all have their two penneth before anyone can even drill a well, let alone produce from it. And I know that I read that on one of these on the council board saying, you know, this cowboy company Egdon, we don't want them. No, okay, what right has that individual got to call Egdon a cowboy company? I suppose legally he can call them what he likes. But Egdon's health and safety over the last 12 years has been impeccable. And I have every reason to believe it always will be. So you can see that the dislike of fossil fuels, you know, you don't start insulting people. You know, going back to your question, it's, there are volumes, every bit of legislation is in place. But I think what you're trying to say is that maybe the council should hand over the situation to the main government.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I'm saying that the main government have handed down responsibility to the main council. Like surprisingly enough, the planning officer up at Wrestle 4 times has recommended that everything goes through. And 4 times... it's been kicked into touch. And, you know, as I say, I've been to these meetings and I'm absolutely amazed when one of the committee stands up and says, I don't know why we should have a planning officer. We're the committee. We should make the decisions on this. It's got nothing to do with the planning officer. We don't need him. And in the next breath, he says, I voted against this last time because I don't understand. And then you've got another councillor stood up and said, I don't like this, Egdon will make money. I think that's the idea of it. So, you know, you just hear it and you put your head in your hands and think, you know, better luck next time.
Just to jump slightly forward, so you drill, you expect to drill in October maybe?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Will you be on the site when they go for it?
Oh, of course I will.
That's one of the questions I ask.
I can. We, as with all the wells, we visit, we attend. You know, we don't live on site,
but
when you spud, you tend to keep out of the guy's way. You know, they're busy. There's a lot of work going on, and from a health and safety aspect. But once all the drilling's there, the exciting bit is when you reach target. You know, I say exciting. It's blinking scary as well. It's like being on the big roller coaster at Blackpool, because
touchdown.
You know from geology, you get a pretty good handle on where the target is, how many thousand meters it is, almost down, believe it or not, to the 10 meters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you, every day you get a drilling report come through, you know that the first well will probably take about 30 days to drill, and you know that it takes about a month for where we're going to go to. So on day 27, you know that you're getting pretty close. You can see all the logs, they come through.
Yeah.
You've been in the industry yourself. You've been on the wells around the world.
Rich farm. Yeah.
And you know. So 100 metres away from target depth, that's when you start to worry and fret. And of course you do. Nothing's 100%, Alex. And you know, I always stress this, anyone I do an interview with, these exploration companies, which we are one, you might as well get a packet of cigarettes and look at the warnings on it, because nothing is ever for good for 100%. You try and mitigate all the different things that can go wrong, but at the end of the day, you need to drill it to find out. It's like the old years and years ago with all the highly speculative companies. There's not many around yet nowadays, I don't think. They used to be scared stiff of drilling their best prospect in case it didn't have anything in it. You've probably heard that saying, never drill your best prospect. Well, we are. Well, but you never know, there might be another prospect next year, who knows?
Well, that brings on, in one of the questions, you're saying there, BP back in the day, they hit oil.
Where you That's right.
Next to where you guys are drilling. And it says the company processed the latest 3D seismic on the prospect. Shouldn't the COS be higher than what you're going for now?
No, because there's always... No. Most onshore oil wells would be 4-1.
Yeah.
We got it down nearly to 50-50. There's 40% chance.
Good grief.
That's good. That's brilliant. You never... Ever. But I tell you what, with a chance of success, what that means is you look at the trap. Is the oil there? Well, we know there's oil there because BP drilled it. Is it sealed? Yes. We know it's sealed because BP drilled it.
Yeah.
What we don't know, we know that there's a kitchen, which is where the oil is manufactured, mm-hmm. made. But what we don't know is if you go up, does the seam increase in size. That is the unknown. The seismic doesn't show you that. Everything tells you that it will increase, the formation will be thicker, but you can't prove that. Nobody can put their hand on their heart and say it will be, but the technophobes say highly likely.
Yeah, you need a trap as well, don't you?
We got that. The trap. No problem, all about the same. So that is what, you know, all of the rest of the chance of success criteria are met. However, what we cannot meet and say with any certainty is how much thicker it's going to be. It doesn't need to be a lot thicker. You know, the chances is all sorts. Like the actual estimate now is 14 million barrels of oil.
Yeah.
However, our geologists and seismic experts have said that it's a potential for a really, really good sweet spot there. It needs to happen. But, you know, if we did find something like that, you never know. That's the beauty of investing in a company like Union Jack.
Well, the figure I've got in front of me that was being openly discussed, and obviously it's not factual, but it's 42.
That's right.
Recoverable oil potential.
That's right. But that is... That is getting the winner of a Grand National. I won't say the lottery because there's a lot of work being done. But, you know, Alex, let's just concentrate on the 14 million now. If we get anything better than that, then terrific. But you know, that's a hypothetical figure which has been worked out by the experts. It needs a lot of luck to get that. I'm not saying it's not, but that would be more than, you know, that would be retirement day for a lot of investors, I guess. So, and it's not like me to hype, not anymore anyway, but you know, got to keep your feet on the ground. Sorry?
I said, I've met you and I know you're not like that. Because obviously, this is all what people talk about, but then what's the chances of getting that much oil? And then what's the NPV of that size of discovery net to UGO? So there's all these questions, but like you say...
Well, the NPV is very, very good. The easiest way, the expected monetary value, NPV and all that, they're all black arts, to be honest, and you know that. But if I can put it in really, really simple terms, if the well cost to Union Jack is just north of $1 million, the expected monetary value of that would to Union Jack at drilling, not on discovery, would be 23, is currently 23 million. It's probably better to be translating it into a rate of return.
Yeah.
And because there's a lot, and the rate of return, if it were to be a half reasonable success, would be about 300%.
Hey, game changer.
Of the IRR.
Yeah.
So it's a good project.
You must be looking forward to the winter, the last quarter of 2018 then.
I don't like the cold, but I do like the next six months for Union Jack. Brilliant. You know, there's still a lot of work to be done, and you know, if you put a P in front of luck, you could call it pluck, and I think we've got that. And also, I'll say that our commercial partners, Humber, have as well. You know, they fully support us and we fully support them. But the NPV, if you work it out, if a sweet spot is to hit, then we're in good shape. But we're in good shape anyway. We're just a normal run-of-mill events if they work out. We've got some really good stuff to look forward to in the future. And also, we've got Fiskerton Airfield, which is producing. We've got Kennington. Wouldn't the money we would get about that wouldn't blow you away, but at least we're producing.
Yeah.
And there's upside potential on both of those projects.
It's just build a portfolio, and hopefully, like you say, come the last quarter of this year, the portfolio might get a bit bigger.
We're always looking. I'm never going to discount any addition of new projects.
Yeah.
And if you look back at our history, any projects we've bought have always added value to the company. Not reflected, you know, surprisingly enough, it's very rarely reflected in the share price. It's like the Wrestle deal. We improved our reserves and resource at Wrestle by 83%. So you'd think, well, at least you get some recognition. But no, it's happened because there's a few ticks still to be put in the boxes, I suppose. But I'm absolutely certain eventually, with everyone working together, this is going to happen. I'd be surprised if he didn't, and disappointed, obviously.
It should be an exciting year ahead for you then.
Looking forward to it.
David, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.